Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Bob Benyart Live. This is not Bob Benyart. This is not the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Bob Benyart is. This is Joe, and today is Friday. You can call me Joe Friday. Bob Benyart is out with a bout of laryngitis, and he should be back in studio, hopefully, Monday. He is recuperating. What a rush to be here. This is so great to be here behind the microphones here at kgov.com, KGOV. We are also pumping out 50,000 watts, 670 KLT here in the local area. Before we get started with today's show, it's my privilege to say a word about Maranatha Christian Center. What a tremendous school for children 2.5 years old to 12th grade. This is a Christmas season, folks, and we need to be thinking about wonderful gifts to give our children. If you're unable to homeschool your children, you need to call Maranatha Christian Center. Their phone number is 303-431-5653. That's 303-431-5653. Now, Bob Benyart has had an association with Maranatha Christian Center for over a decade. They're just a wonderful, wonderful group to talk to about educating your children. And for anyone that's joining us right now and missed the very beginning of the show, this is not an infomercial about Maranatha Christian Center. This is the Bob Benyart Live Show. Bob Benyart is off today. He's suffering a little bit from laryngitis. My name is Joe. I'm filling in, and it's my pleasure that Bob asked me personally to fill in today, and it's great to be here. We have a very good show for you this next half hour. Hopefully at the end of the half hour, you're not hoping that you listen to an infomercial about Maranatha Christian Center. So let's get started. Hold on, just relax. Our beautiful producer is waving her arms frantically at me, trying to get me to give our phone number here at the studio for people in the audience to call in. Well, not just yet. I do appreciate the input. I do realize I'm new back here. But I will be giving out that phone number a little later in the show when you know what the topic is. How's that? We're not going to give the phone number out until you understand exactly what we're talking about today. Ladies and gentlemen, there are tens of millions of Americans alive today who have done something that I have never done. Now, this isn't something that's just trivial like skiing. Yes, it's true. I've never been snow skiing, but I'm talking about something of tremendous consequences, not of little consequences, that a lot of people in America have experienced, and I have not. We're going to talk about that today. They, the ones that have experienced it, they don't talk about this experience in their life. Tens of millions of Americans. Today, we're going to try to shed the light of day on something that seems to be hidden. You won't hear this on any other radio show. We're going to break new ground today. You will hear things that you've never heard before. Now, I'm not saying that these Americans don't remember what they've done in the details. I'm just saying that they never talk about it. They remember, yet they're unwilling to talk about it. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I do not believe that there's some tremendous conspiracy out there in America, and tens of millions of Americans have done something of tremendous consequence in their lives, in the lives of loved ones, friends, family, and don't talk about it because of some conspiracy. We're going to talk about what they've done, and maybe you can just figure out maybe why they don't talk about it. Now, you might not know it from my name, Joe Friday, but I am Italian. My real name is Giuseppe Friday, and the reason why I mention being Italian is because of the mafia. Us Italians, we know about the mafia. In the mafia, they have like the code of silence. They do things of substantial consequences in people's lives, and they don't talk about it, because if they talk, the other members of the mafia hunt them down and kill them. But you know what? Just about every year, we find out that they have some turncoats in the mafia. They decide, despite the death penalty, they talk about the experiences that they had in the mafia. Now, these tens of millions of Americans that are alive today have an experience that's significant. They could talk about it if they so choose, and nobody's going to hunt them down and kill them. What's going on? Why haven't they talked? Today, on this show, in the next half hour, we're going to shed some light that hasn't been shed before. You're going to hear some things you've never heard on any other radio show, and guess what? You're going to hear them right here, right now. But before we get started, folks, I'd like to share and shed a little light on my life a little bit. I've been married 25 years to my lovely wife, Jennifer. Now, this poor woman's put up with me for 25 years. You can just imagine just what her life has been like. But I love her to death. She's given us 6 beautiful children, 3 boys and 3 girls, ranging from ages 8 years old to in the 20s, somewhere in the 20s, because my oldest is a girl, and she wouldn't exactly like me to share her age with everyone. Now, a little bit more about myself as far as children are concerned, but not my children. How about nieces and nephews? On my side of the family, the good Italian side of the family, I got 14 nieces and nephews, very immediate nieces and nephews, 14. My wife, who's Irish, has 18 nieces and nephews. So together, in my life, I have 32 nieces and nephews with 6 children. I also have a lot of close friends that we interact with and we discuss things with. A lot of people who have had substantial interaction with me in my life in these years. Now, you may be wondering, why is he going through all this at this time? Well, my life's experiences in the types of conversations I've had with people, what we're about to discuss, I've never had this experience. Tens of millions of other Americans, good Americans, bad Americans, some, but like myself, an American, they've experienced something I've never experienced. I haven't been stuck on an island somewhere and then just popped my head up, showed up here behind the microphone and said, okay, let's do a show. And I want to talk about something that these guys have experienced and I never had. No, this is something that I guess potentially I could have had the experience with, but I don't. Let's not keep the suspense building any longer. Tens of millions of Americans have directly involved themselves in abortion. They've involved themselves by suggesting to someone or encouraging someone to abort their baby. They've participated in helping the abortion take place. They have taken the ride, possibly some of them, have even taken the ride to the abortion mill the day of the abortion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tens of millions of Americans that are alive today have experienced this. I have not. Now, they don't talk about their experience in that way, in what they've done. There's complete silence. But get ready, buckle your seatbelt, because we're going to talk and we're going to shed some light in the next few minutes about what their experience most probably was like. And we're going to also open up the phone line in just a few minutes. But first, I'd like to talk a little bit about the morning of the birth of some of my children. We can remember how lovely that is. We know that the birth is imminent. Jennifer is just ripe with child, and we're going to have a baby, and it's exciting, and it's loving. Love is in the air, joy and happiness. There's tender moments, touching, smiling, and just generally a beneficial atmosphere in the home. Now, can you imagine waking up in a home the morning that the abortion will take place? You could most probably cut the tension with a knife. What a contrast. What a contrast between a home that is getting ready to welcome a life and another home that's getting ready to end one. Two groups of people that have chosen to end a life and get up that morning. The one smaller group are the ones that are actually going to get in the vehicle and drive to the abortion mill later that day. The other ones have possibly been the ones that have counseled, suggested, in fact, sadly, even enough, have paid for the abortion to take place. What is it like for both of those groups when they get up that morning? Are they happy? Do they look other people in the eyes and smile and just feel joy and love? No, they don't. And the morning's over with and they have to get in the car and go for the ride. Now, I know what the ride was like when I was taking Jenny to the hospital. We held hands. We would look at each other. It was filled with moments of just tremendous intimacy. You don't even have to say things at that time. And you just know that there's love between she and I and our baby's coming. And it's the time. Now, television has perpetuated the morning that the baby's coming and just a lot of the comedies that take place. And it's in a loving, affectionate way that they portray them. I grew up, now this is going to date me, folks, and that's okay. The Dick Van Dyke Show. Rob and Laura Petrie, they're going to have a baby. Now, Rob's laying in bed and he's all dressed. He won't even get in his pajamas. He's totally dressed. And he's laying there and on his headboard right above him is his hat. And I can picture him as clear as today, him sitting up and grabbing his hat and putting his hat on. He's practicing. So if Laura calls him in the middle of the night, he's ready to go. And Laura's just as calm as can be and she knows everything's going to be fine. But that's how we're see when life is coming into the world and into the home. It's a loving, joyous, happy time. And it's embraced by the comic shows that are on television. But what a contrast that we can have in knowing what takes place in the ride to the abortion mill. Most probably several petty arguments, fighting, if there is any talking at all. But there's also most probably the gritting of teeth, and we're going to go through it. Just darn determination to get through what we're set out to do, no matter how nasty it is, in this quiet, in this still, because there's a life to be taken today. 40 million abortions in America, and nobody talks about it. 40 million abortions in America, and nobody talks about it. Let's open up the lines, folks. If by any chance you are listening today and you have involved yourself in any way with an abortion, please call me. The phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. Have you ever been involved? Have you ever involved yourself in an abortion? Have you ever suggested or encouraged someone to abort their baby? Have you ever taken that ride? Please call. I'd like to talk with you. The phone number is 1-800-8-NYART or 1-800-836-9278. Now, when the ride is over, we get to the office or to the hospital. I'd like to talk about the hospital first because that's where we were headed. We're headed with my wife to the hospital. Now, a hospital is a great place, a place where people get healed, but where a lot of people are in dire need of medical attention, and they're sick. But there's a particular floor, it's called the maternity floor, where there is happiness on this one floor. And you know when you hit it, the doors of the elevator open up, and there's balloons, and there's teddy bears, and people generally have a different attitude on this particular floor, the maternity floor where babies are being delivered. You know, as the papa, I get to go in the waiting room. It's pretty cool to be in the waiting room of the hospital when your wife's getting ready to have a baby. We all have our phone list. I have a list of all the aunts and uncles, everybody we got to call. Grandma and grandpas are there, and just it's an atmosphere that's wonderful. You walk in and there's other men, there's other ladies. They look you in the eyes. They want to say hello. They want you to say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Has the baby come yet? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? It's an atmosphere that's energized with love and tremendously happy emotions at this time. Let's contrast that with the waiting room inside the abortion clinic. If the people are lucky that walk in that door, they may catch someone's eyes, But for the most part, they're downcast. The people that may be sitting there in the waiting room, for the most, all they're going to be doing most probably is looking at your shoes. You may see some tears. You may hear some sobs. But there is definitely no excitement, no happiness, no one willing to look you in the eyes to say, "Oh, I'm glad you're here," because they're not glad they're here. Right now, I'd like to go to the phones in Bailey, Colorado. Debbie is on the phone. Hello, Debbie.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, thank you so much for calling.
I can't imagine you're not going to probably get a whole lot of calls.
Well, that's okay, Debbie. Debbie, thank you very much. It must have taken a lot of courage for you to call. Were you the one that had an abortion?
Yeah, me personally, yes. And then my sister asked me advice. I drove her there. My friend, two friends, asked me, you know, when you did it, and it was such a long time ago, but they knew that I had went through the process, and it didn't make me, you know, a doctor of it, but they just figured, well, she did it, so I'll ask her about it. And I said exactly what they had said to me, was that you don't need to be burdened with this. Mm-hmm. But little did they know, 17 years later, it's still, you know, it's there. Mm. And you know you committed murder. Mm. And thank God there's Jesus.
Amen.
You know, because
amen,
there would
Debbie.
Be no peace.
Now, you had an abortion. I see that you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know you're forgiven.
Yes.
There was a young lady, I believe, if I heard you correctly, that you drove to an abortion clinic also?
My sister.
Your sister. How is she doing?
She's got major problems, not only physical, inside physical, but mental. And I'm assuming it's part of this, because I know it can just eat you up inside.
Yes.
You know, and I really think that that's affecting her. She's now on her second divorce and God knows how many relationships, and now has two children, you know, from you know, different dads, but no big deal. I mean, they're alive,
yes.
You know. But I can imagine that that's something that's eating her up inside, and now she's had her ovaries taken out, and, you know, but she does have two children, so she's very thankful for that. But I can just, you know, you could just see there's anger in her and just this hatred. And you know what? It's towards me a lot of the time. We don't even talk anymore. And I'm thinking maybe that's it. I was the driver, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But well, it's a terrible feeling. Anyone who, I thought about it for years and prayed, you know, God, what do you want me to do? I know what I did was wrong. What can I do to make it up?
Yes.
What can I do to help other girls know that once you leave that office, it's not over, you know?
Exactly.
And it even though Jesus is there and he has forgiven you, you still know. You still have that guilt in you. And it's an awful feeling. And I was hearing the gentleman explain about how when you go to a hospital and you're prepared for a child and you know it's coming, and the joy, he's right, there was no joy. All they did is take your money, shoot you up with drugs, sit you in a room, and then tear it out of you. And that's it. I'll never forget seeing a unicorn and a picture on a wall and just focused on that, and just it was the most terrible thing I had ever went through, the most awful. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Just terrible.
Debbie, I want to shift gears just with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rest of the audience, I don't want you to shift gears, but Debbie, I want to find out, has Jesus begun to make the rest of your life a beautiful thing?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, he has.
Amen.
He has. And yes, thank you for doing that, because I keep thinking I need to go out there and maybe go into the schools and talk. I talk, you know, to some kids in my church on Wednesdays. I, you know, cook dinner for them. And there's like 40 boys and girls in there, and there's teenagers too, and I'm thinking, you know, there could be one of them here who needs to hear this. I don't know.
Right, Debbie?
Yes.
You know, there may be somebody out there right now, and I'd like you to stay on the line and possibly agree if you agree with what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Now, studio audience, audience out there in Radio Land, if by any chance you are listening today and you have decided to have an abortion, or someone you know has decided to have an abortion, my message to you is that it is not too late. Go act right now. Move heaven and earth if you have to, but stop that abortion from taking place.
Yes.
Do you agree with that, Debbie?
Yes, I do.
That they would take that advice? And one more thing, if you're listening, call. We're here to help. I'm here to help. We will help with whatever need you have. 1-800-836-9278. You don't have to give your name. You don't have to talk all that much, but let us know how we can help you.
And you know what? People make it sound like it's such an embarrassment. And I thought back then how people would stare at me and say, oh, that's the one. What's more of an embarrassment, having a baby or having one ripped from your body and committing a murder?
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
that's why no one talks about it.
That's right. And like you, were saying, you know, that you don't walk in the office and they're like, hey, you know, hi. No, there's none of that. It was it was like being in a mortuary.
Mm.
All of us girls, they had probably 14 different lounge chairs, you know, like those lazy boys, I guess you call them.
Yes.
And everyone had this IV stuck to their hand, and we're all just walking around like zombies. We're all drugged up, you know, and one after the other. And when I heard them say abortion mill, it was like, oh, my God, they're right. That is exactly what it is. And when I had mine, oh, my gosh, I was 5 months.
Oh, Debbie.
I know. And I the fact that I'm on the phone talking to you about this and people are hopefully learning something is incredible. Because I thought, oh, my God, I can't pick up that phone. I can't do that. I can't even give my name. Heck, they can come to my house. I will talk to them and say, this is not the way to go. You know, you want to walk away from a kid, have it, let someone else take it into their home, which is now what I'm about to do. You know, I watch kids now, you know, just babysit them for free for people.
Uh-huh.
And my husband and I have been married for a little over 5 years. We don't have a child yet. And now we're looking into adoption. We have tons of people at our church that have adopted.
Wow.
And it's just amazing. And it's like, well, if that's the way it has to be, that I can't give birth now because of having an abortion years ago, and now I'm a totally different person. I have a wonderful husband, and I can't give him a child. And it, deep down inside, it's like, oh, I caused this whole thing myself. Mm. I did this. And I have to live it. That's my life. That's how I chose to do it. And God is getting me through it.
Debbie. Are there women at your church or possibly outside your church, Christian women, that have had similar experiences that you have that you're in contact with on a fairly regular basis?
You know, not that I know of.
Well, Debbie, our lovely producer, before you leave, would love to get you on hold.
Okay.
And we know that we have some of the most tremendous women who minister in so many ways to women such as yourself that go here to Denver Bible Church.
Mm-hmm.
That they would just love to give you a call and share Jesus' love with you even more than what you have.
Okay.
So if that would be good, I want to thank you tremendously for your courage and braveness. Give God all the glory in your life. Yeah. And just with so thankful, everyone out there is thankful that Jesus is making the rest of your life a beautiful thing. So I'm new in the studio. I hope I don't hang up on you.
It's okay. I know the number.
You know that. Please call back if I do.
Okay.
God bless you, Debbie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Beautiful producer, let me know what button to push. Oh, the one that says H-O-L-D. Durr. All right. Wow. Oh, I was not prepared for Debbie's call. What a touching moment. For those who know Jesus Christ and know his love, if you would, please take this time. Take time right this very minute and pray for Debbie. Pray for Debbie's sister. And pray for women who are in similar situations that Debbie finds herself right now. And we just bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. We are coming close to the end of our show. It really it really kind of threw where I wanted was taking the show. But praise God, he took it in the direction he wanted to. And may Debbie have ministered to women and men out there alike. I'm going to repeat what we said when Debbie was on the line. If there's anyone out there, this is the Christmas season, the season of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The whole world celebrates Christmas. If there's anyone out there today listening and they've decided to have an abortion, if you know someone that's decided to have an abortion, or if you've heard, let's do something about it today. And we're here to help. We're not just here to talk, but we're here to take action and help. The phone number is 1-800-836-9278. The message is, it's not too late. The life is there. We don't have to have another phone call like we just had from Debbie. No. Let's try to minimize as best we can. So, goodness gracious, this has been a blessing. I'm so happy that and thankful to Bob to give me this opportunity to be here today. Debbie has blessed me much more than anybody out there in the audience would know. The people here at kgov.com are just the best, most professional and loving people, and they all love Jesus Christ. If you, by any chance, would like to hear any of the shows of Bob Benyart Live, you can go on the internet to kgov.com, and you can hear some wonderful shows. There was a wonderful show yesterday. I was thinking, coming to the studio today, it's really going to be hard following that act. That was really great. Stephen Sutherland hosted the show yesterday, and he had his sidekick, Josh Craddock, with him. Yeah. And they were just wonderful. And just what a blessing. And get a chance to say hello to all my family and friends. They're like, oh, look, it's Joe. He's on the radio. Hey, guys, how you doing? What a blessing today has been. And I know I'll be in prayer for everyone that heard Debbie and heard her heart come through loud and clear. I'm going to have a little different spin on how Bob Benyart ends his show. For those out there, I would remind you to remember to do right and enjoy the consequences. God bless you. Do right. Do right and enjoy the consequences. God bless you.